Coming up next on The Social Hour, social video YouTube stars are hitting the silver screen. Lucky them. Plus, find out who all your followers are on Instagram. A lot more statistics, too. Plus, 1 second on the internet. What does it look like? We'll tell you all that and more.
Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
Audio bandwidth provided by the new WinApp for Android, featuring wireless sync and one-click iTunes import. Now with free daily music downloads and full-length CD listening parties. Download it for free at winamp.com/android. Bandwidth for the Social Hour is brought to you by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
This is The Social Hour with Sarah Lane and Amber MacArthur, episode 124, recorded Friday, August 9th, 2013. This episode of The Social Hour is brought to you by Tonks Coffee. Tonks offers bi-weekly subscriptions. Tonks sources their beans directly from growers, and they're roasted and shipped to you within 24 hours, giving you the freshest coffee beans in the world. For a free sample, visit tonks.org/social hour. That's tonks.org/social hour. And by Shutterstock.com. With over 1 million high-quality video clips, Shutterstock helps you take your creative projects to the next level. For 30% off your new account, go to Shutterstock.com and use the offer code SOCIALHOUR8. And by Social Media Solutions from SAP. If you're a social media manager at a large enterprise, gain insight and engage in social media with Social Media Solutions from SAP to improve your customer service and support experience. Take a guided tour at sap.com/twit. Hi, everybody, and welcome to another fun-filled edition of The Social Hour. It's summertime, and the birds are chirping, and the weather's nice, unless you live in San Francisco like me, but that's neither here nor there. I'm Sarah Lane from Twit World Headquarters in Petaluma, California.
And I'm Amber MacArthur, and it is beautiful here, I will say. And I'm still in Prince Edward Island, here for a few more days before I'm back in Toronto. Have had a great vacation, lots of beach time. And if you're watching the video feed, you'll see that I've been wearing sunglasses a lot. So that's not just some weird new makeup trend. It's just sunglasses and a little too much sun. But nonetheless, things have been good, and good to be on the show, Sarah, and lots to talk about this episode.
Yeah, there certainly is. And I'm glad that you're having good weather. I'm actually... Yes. I like to, you know, pretend that I don't really like the weather in San Francisco, but I have to say that there are quite a few uses of San Francisco weather social media accounts that seem to bring all of us a lot of joy. San Franciscans love to complain about all the fog that happens in the summer. We've got Carl the Fog, who's a huge celebrity on Instagram and Twitter to some extent. I found a new account today that, gosh, I'm not going to remember the name of the account, but it's one word descriptions of the weather in San Francisco. So for example, today it was like soupy or, horrible or gray, which is, you know, kind of funny. At least we're having some fun with the tools provided to us, right? We can all laugh about it. All right, exactly. But let's start off with an article that you found about YouTube stars starring in a feature film.
I know. So this is kind of interesting. And we know YouTube stars get a lot of attention on YouTube, but now a few of them have a chance to be in a feature film. Now, this film will be streamed on a social site that's called chill.com. I'm really not that familiar with chill.com, Sarah, but looks like they've decided to make a movie using these YouTube stars. And one of the interesting things about this particular movie, which will be called Camp Dakota, is that we've actually had one of the YouTube stars on The Social Hour, Hannah Hart, if you remember.
Of course.
And yes.
Yeah, so, My Drunk Kitchen.
Yep. And she, along with a couple of other YouTube stars, will join the cast. And they shot the movie on a shoestring budget based on this Mashable article. And, you know, kind of fun to see them getting recognition for their stardom and doing something like this. So you just clicked on a little trailer. It's kind of just a short. It's almost like a behind-the-scenes bloopers of them shooting for the movie. And I'm sure they had a blast. It looks like they had fun, lots of laughs. and Hannah's hilarious, as are the other ladies. Between them, they have about 2.7 million YouTube subscribers, so they'll already bring a built-in audience to the feature film on chill.com.
You know, it's funny. I recognize the woman in the middle. That's Daily Grace. She's very funny. So it's interesting that even though, you know, these are YouTube stars, it's like they have a lot of followers, and I don't even spend that much time watching so much of the good content that I know is on YouTube, just because, hey, you run out of time, and, you know, sometimes we're working on our own shows too much. But it's like I've started to recognize some of these YouTube celebrities. I knew two of the three of the women that we just saw in the trailer just because. So I think that more and more, this is actually a great opportunity for people who have a ton of talent to take it to the next level.
But Sarah, when are they going to come knocking on our door?
That's what I would like to know, Amber.
Sarah and Amber movie?
I feel like that would be a good one. We're very interesting. We cover two different, you know, countries and different, I don't know, places. And I don't know.
International by nature, obviously.
We're just interesting. I agree. You know, it's funny. Leo and I interviewed him sort of in the tables turn type of thing for our show Triangulation a couple of weeks ago. And he had admitted to Tom Merritt, who was co-hosting, and I, that he, before he got into broadcasting and what, you know, we all sort of do now, he really thought he wanted to be an actor. And I kind of nodded like, yeah, I remember also wanting that at one point. Mm-hmm. I always thought, oh yeah, I really like performing. I should be an actress. And then I think as I got older, I realized, oh gosh, I don't know if that's actually what I want. I just like, you know, communicating. So it's not really so much about acting. It's just about kind of, you know, having sort of this communication with an audience. And I think that's probably a lot of the same sort of stuff that people who have gotten a lot of success or would like success on YouTube feel. So how fun for them to kind of get something that feels like what maybe their original dreams when they were younger felt like.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Sorry, I'm just laughing because there was a guy standing behind you in your little window.
He's just lighting a cigarette. I couldn't figure out if he was trying to get on the show or if he didn't realize that he was standing in front of our little porthole.
And he's very mysterious looking, you know, cool looking top hat.
Right, he's all in shadows.
All in shadow. Oh, was that him? Oh,
yeah, I think that was another person. Busy Friday here at the Twit Studios. Yeah.
Congratulations to all of those ladies. It'll be interesting to see how many people they can bring to watch the show on chill.com. And I'm sure this is going to be the future of how they make movies. And one day, Sarah, they'll come to us. One day, I can feel it.
I feel that way too. It's funny. We have a sort of an interesting chat going on in our chat room. Foreign sources, acting is lying. And then Web 0852 says, well, isn't this pretty much acting? You portray what you'd like to. I think that's... I mean, I guess you could... If you're acting and trying to make it seem like you're not acting, I guess that's lying. But I don't think actors and actresses are really fooling anybody or trying to.
No.
And as far as this is concerned, I think, Amber, you and I probably... You know, we try to be as entertaining as possible in the hour allotted to the show. But I don't think we'd be much different otherwise.
No, I don't think so. I actually had a cameo in a web series where I played an exaggerated version of myself. And it was kind of fun. I don't think I want to be an actor, but it was definitely fun. A different experience, you know, where I think what we do is obviously, I don't want to say that it's boring or anything, but, you know, we are kind of just being ourselves and trying to report on all the stuff that we love. So it was a fun little experience for me, that little, 2-minute clip that I got in the web series.
So what is the name of the web series so people could look it up if they would like
to? Sure. It's called Moderation Town, and I think I shot it maybe 2 or 3 years ago. I probably mentioned it on the show maybe after we had shot the videos, and I think they did 6 or 8 episodes, maybe more. It's not really safe for work in some parts, but not my parts. I made sure that, you know, my part was pretty PG, but it was fun. Oh my gosh. Seriously, look how fast you are. Oh, yeah. There might be swearing.
Amber. Hi. What an absolute honor and pleasure.
Likewise, Heather.
Likewise. All right, people. Whose legacy needs shaping?
This is so, I love it so far. This is obviously, I mean, this is like high production value stuff.
Yeah, it was great. Whole little film crew. And I was basically teaching people about how social media was so important. And I was going on talking about, listen, if you don't have Twitter followers, you're pathetic, and just kind of joking around. But there are a lot of points in the show where they do swear, and it's not the perfect work show, but just kind of funny. It's basically about a team of people who moderate online comments all day, and they work together. So the premise is really fun. And I just came in as an expert talking to them. So kind of what I do, but an exaggerated version of that.
Oh, I love it. I have not seen this before. I can't wait to watch it.
It was really fun.
So, yeah, I mean, Amber's been on a successful web series. I mean, hello, everybody. I can do an exaggerated version of myself, too. I don't think anybody would want to see that, actually. All right. This is actually something that you might want to see or might want to use. A company called Kemi, as in K-E-Y-M-E, has an app that will store a copy of your keys, like your house keys, in the cloud. Now you might say, what? I don't understand. Here's how it works. You store a copy of your key because you take a photo of it on each side. So mm-hmm. it's kind of like taking a picture of a check that you're supposed to deposit, and your bank can pull the information from that and say, okay, got it. We can replicate the information of the numbers and this and that, but it's actually the key. Now, a locksmith can create a key for you based on those pictures, because Kemi will be able to give them specific duplication instructions. You can't expect all locksmiths to be like, yeah, I know all about Kemi, but apparently it's pretty easy to pass the information along. You can then order duplicate keys by mail as well. Maybe you're not going to visit a locksmith, but you're like, oh, I need new keys in the next week. They would cost anywhere between $4.99 to $6.99 and arrive within 2 to 3 days. So this is not something that you could get within an hour. You'd want to go to your locksmith for that. But you could, if you thought about it ahead of time, early enough, you could get it certainly within the week. And if this is something where it's like, oh, I'm going to be out of town, my mom's going to come by, and maybe my friend's going to come by, water my plants, they're going to need keys. That's something that you can also do. You can share your key. You can send them a digital copy of your key beforehand, and then they can order through the app or bring into a shop to get made. So this has actually happened to me once or twice, Amber. I hate to say, it's like I've gone out of town. I bring my set of keys because I need to get back in later. My mom has one set, but she's not the one who's watching my cats. So it's like, oh no, now it's my mom's problem to get the key to my friend Prager so that he can do his job. And this would have been nice. Mm-hmm. At the same time, the idea of it might just completely scare you. Like, all somebody has to do is get a hold of a key, and then they take a picture of it, and then they can get copies made. And this sounds really, really scary. Kemi says a few things. They understand that security is of utmost concern. They don't store your address information. They delete it as soon as they fill your order. And then they use advanced levels of encryption. They use password protection. And then they say any account activity, you'll get an email alert for. So for any reason somebody's trying to use your account, you would know about it, and you'd be able to put the brakes on it. I don't know. I talked about this with the TNT guys this morning, and I was like, this is actually something that I do not once a week or anything, but quarterly I am at the locksmith. So maybe I could use this, but they didn't really agree with me. Do you think that there's a big need here?
Well, I think it's interesting. I mean, I would probably feel fairly comfortable using it. I also have an alarm system at my house, so I think that probably would add to the comfort level with something like this. But I can see people being a little bit nervous. You know, that's kind of the one thing that really invites people into very much your personal space. So I was just thinking while you're talking, would I rather people, potentially could get access to that information or my email account? I mean, there's so many levels, I think, where we just want to be able to have that privacy. So I'm not 100% sure. But if I lost my keys all the time, or, you know, there were reasons where I needed to get duplicate keys in, like you, it has happened to me before, this could be an interesting option, as long as I was totally comfortable with the security of the service. And it seems like they've definitely done quite a bit of legwork so far. So an interesting debate. I think people should let us know what they think, and email us and tweet us, and we can include it in our next episode, because I'm sure there's a lot of varying opinions on this.
Absolutely. In fact, of our live viewers that are participating in chat, pretty much across the board, people say this is stupid. Either this is just somebody trying to, you know, think of a cloud trend business that doesn't yet exist and get money, and it's not really fulfilling some sort of a problem that exists in the world. And other people say, you know, this is actually not the solution at all. What we should all be doing is trying to get into more keyless solutions. Yeah, we've got keyless entry in cars. The whole idea of having less keys to lose is the better idea, as long as we can get security figured out. So, yeah, I think in a way this is a sort of a stopgap solution, and I understand how people feel about that. I mean, I have a key to my car, but it's not actually a key that I could ever take a picture of and duplicate anymore. It's, you know, it's one of these fancy new kinds of keys. And then there are certain apartment buildings that people live in that the keys cannot be copied. They're not even necessarily a do not copy printed on the key, because you can usually get those copied. I've tried. But sometimes digital swiping mechanisms that will unlock your front door, and you're out of luck. Although Kimi does say that they're working on different types of keys. They understand that not everybody just has, you know, a little gold key that you turn to the left or the right. So I don't know. I got to give them points for being creative. It'll be nice to start hearing how this works in practice, and if people really do need it, or if it's just one of these technologies that was built to say that they built it and will go away like the dodo.
Yeah. Oh, speaking of Dodo, I can't believe you just mentioned that, Sarah, because I was going to include a social network that's being developed. Are you familiar with this one? And it's called, I think it's called the Dodo.
No.
And it's going to be a social network from, I want to say, the daughter of the former editor-in-chief of Salon, perhaps. It will be a social network for animals, but particularly talking about the relationship that animals have, not just in our lives, but in relation to our environment. I don't know much more than that, but I thought I would wait till it launched until I talked about it, but then you mentioned the Dodo, so there you go.
Well, I'm so thrilled that I jogged your memory, although it seems like sort of a weird name for a social network, because the Dodo is extinct.
But I think that is sort of more of a kind of a, I think that was on purpose, just trying to talk about how there are some animals that are going to be potentially extinct, and how we need to take better care of our environment based on what I've read from some of these articles. So I think that was on purpose.
I see.
Not exactly sure. I thought the same thing. It's an interesting choice of a name for a social network. And because it had animals in it, I thought of you, Sarah, but then you kind of stole my thunder, because I thought I'd wait till it launched to surprise you.
Dang.
You're in my head. This is why we need our movie, Sarah.
That's right. We're
already thinking the same.
ESP with Sarah and Amber. Exactly. Actually, Amber and Sarah sort of sounds better. All right. So let's move on now to, this isn't really good news. In fact, this is kind of a weird story, because it came from TechCrunch, which is owned by AOL. AOL also owns another subsidiary called Patch, which is hyper-local news. So this is news information that is part of the AOL family, but is focused on specific cities, for example, like a Sacramento, you know, or a Pittsburgh. The local initiative is very interesting online these days, because many of us say, well, you know, you get all your global news all over the place. Everything's global. But as members of actual physical communities, sometimes the local news is relevant to us in a way that you can't always scale it. So there is a need for this. Doesn't sound like AOL's Patch network is doing that well, though. 400 sites are apparently going to be shuttered or partnered off. The company is getting a new CEO. And it sounds as though hundreds of people who currently work at Patch in some capacity will be laid off. Apparently, this was a rumor that came down yesterday but some sort of a source who was in on a call between Tim Armstrong, who is the CEO of AOL, and the Patch team. He explained that they're going to restructure things. The current CEO, Steve Callen, will be leaving, will be replaced by a new CEO named Bud Rosenthal, and that nobody is actually nobody's actually fired, but it sounds like that's going to be happening in waves over the next week or so. So not a good thing. I don't know what this means for the idea of local news in general. I think it's still a trend that there's a need for, Amber. Maybe it was just maybe it's just a matter of reorganization.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's hard for some of these local news sites to be able to figure out a way that they can continue to survive as far as being able to generate revenue. So I think it's a tough business to be in local news. I mean, we've seen this everywhere. So not a huge surprise, but I'm with you. You know, obviously local news is so important. For me personally, when I'm looking for local news, I just really to this day have to kind of depend in my neighborhood on going on Twitter and and finding out that way, because there's really not a great lot of great local news, unfortunately. But nonetheless, it's unfortunate, especially to see so many people laid off in the process.
Yeah, I think maybe it just has something to do with, yeah, local news in its form. I mean, I used to work in local news for a television station based in San Francisco, and it's a very different world there than it was even, you know, when I was interning in college and my first couple of jobs. Once I was working full time, local news is very different because we just have other tools, and it's definitely the medium is changing a lot. But there's still a need. If, for example, I live really nearby Market Street in San Francisco, Amber, and there are always protests and parades and all sorts of stuff happening, and sometimes I can kind of like hear it from my house. And I'll just start to search for like protest or Market Street on Twitter, and I'll find what's the answer? What's happening over there? Yeah. What I'm looking for so easily, just because I've kind of gotten good at Twitter search terms to be able to try to pull a tweet that explains what I'm looking for. But that's sort of a shot in the dark. It would be nice if a company like Patch had some sort of a well thought out page or app that I could access, or, you know, something that I could get alerts about that was just based on my neighborhood, that I didn't have to like wade through the rest of everything that's happening on Twitter to find out. So I think the idea is really good. It's just trying to figure out how do we deliver this to people so that it doesn't seem like an antiquated model.
Yeah, no, I agree. I mean, I think there's demand for it, especially when we get to the hyper-local level and right down to smaller communities, but I still think it's a tough business to run. And that's why I don't think it can really be a business. I think it has to be something that, sorry, there was a fly in my way if you're wondering why I'm doing that. It has to be something that is really community-driven, right? And I think that's where it will succeed. I don't know what the format will be at the end of the day, but I think there's a need. It's just, it's hard to turn it into a revenue-generating business in many different ways.
Yeah, agreed. Especially since we're all so used to hearing about stuff that's happening all over the place. Nextdoor, one of my favorite local social apps. We've talked about that before. I always think about Nextdoor as a great example of local done very well. Very hyper-local, as in your next-door neighbor. But that's a whole nother conversation. Before we go any farther, I want to remind you all how you can get a hold of us. If you ever have some, you know, feedback, you can write us at the social hour at twit.tv. Maybe you're watching us live. Maybe you're watching us over the weekend. A lot of people say that they liked catching up with us over the weekend, which is awesome because we record the show on Fridays, 4 p.m. Eastern, 1 p.m. Pacific. And it's nice to have those of you watching us live. But if you don't, that's okay. You can always keep up with us at twit.tv/TSH. That's where all of our show archives live. You can watch our videos right on any of our episode pages. You can subscribe to the show. It just means that you'll get the episode downloaded without even thinking about it. And keep up with us. Thanks to everybody who watches and listens to us every week. Okay, Amber, I know, because I know you, that that you're not a huge coffee drinker these days. And I think maybe this whole time you haven't had very good coffee beans.
That could be the problem. And I've started to drink actually a lot more caffeine than I used to. So
really?
You can almost move me into the category of caffeine fans once again, which has only happened in the past few months. So I'm very excited to hear what you have to say.
Well, this is awesome. See, I thought I was thinking like, gosh, you know, this is maybe I can sort of convince Amber, but you're already ready to be convinced.
I'm on my way. I've opened the door, Sarah.
So this is Tonks Coffee. Tonks is a sponsor of The Social Hour. They make amazing coffee. These beans are extremely fresh. They really smell delicious. They're like candy. I want to eat them, but I know that that wouldn't be good. I need to actually brew them. And the nice thing is that they're extremely fresh because they come from Tonks. Tonks is a small company. What they do is they've got a bunch of experts working there who deal with coffee growers. And they work with them. They get really, really fresh beans. They roast the beans for you and they ship them to you within 24 hours of roasting. That is an extremely quick turnaround. If you know anything about coffee, you know, often coffee will sit on a shelf before you buy it. They'll talk about it being really fresh and it could be like a week, even up to 2 weeks before you even get it home. And then your coffee is sort of sitting there on your counter and it's not good. You want fresh coffee. That's how your coffee tastes good. That is the key. You're quite possibly drinking extremely stale coffee. Now, Tonks wants to change all of that for you and let you brew a great cup of coffee right in your own kitchen. You don't have to go to a coffee shop. You don't even have to think about it. This is a bi-weekly service. Tonks just ships the coffee directly to you right after brewing it within 24 hours. And it's like a little gift in your mailbox. And then you've got coffee. You never run out. The subscription model works really well. By the time you're done with your coffee, you've got fresh coffee again. And it's really, really good. I can attest to this. I'm a bit of a coffee snob. I'm always trying to figure out, oh, what's the new, like, do I need some sort of a really interesting coffee grinder? Or, you know, maybe my water needs to be hotter. And I care about all this stuff. But the number one thing is great beans. And beans can be really, really expensive. And that's why Tonks is awesome, because they help you save money. You get on a routine. You're going to drink your coffee. Your coffee's fresh. You're not paying an arm and a leg. It gets delivered to you. I mean, this is just a great, great model. And if you're like me and you're interested in brewing methods and equipment to kind of take it to the next level, they actually have a really great website. The team there is clearly extremely into coffee. You can spend a lot of time there just kind of getting a sense of what they do all day and how they want you to enjoy coffee more, because that's what it's all about. Once you have coffee that's good, it's fresh, it's brewed correctly, you know that, oh, you haven't been enjoying coffee this entire time. Or you know, Amber says she's getting back on the coffee train, and I'm excited about that. But if you're somebody who, you know, somebody who might like coffee, maybe this isn't for you. This could make a fantastic gift. Think about it. All of a sudden you're keeping somebody from having to think about coffee ever again. They're just going to get awesome coffee, fresh, delivered straight to them. Bi-weekly. So think about that. If you know somebody's birthday's coming up, or you know, some sort of anniversary gift, give them the gift of coffee. Every 2 weeks, new batch of great beans roasted to perfection. Also, you might say, all right, you're talking up a good game. Is it really that great? Tonks is offering a free sample to all of you. Go to tonks.org/social hour. That's tonx.org/social hour. Get some coffee for yourself, or get some coffee to somebody that you love and you'd love to bathe with coffee. Not in real life. Figuratively, of course. And thanks to Tonks for supporting the Social Hour. tonks.org/social hour. I'm going to move this away from me because I can't deal with it anymore. It just makes me want coffee, and it's a little late in the day for me, Amber.
They do some really cool stuff. Sorry, sorry to interrupt you. I was just looking at their social media feeds, and I know on Instagram, I think they have tens of thousands of followers, and they do a great job with social too. So definitely a good one to look at if you're wondering how to do social well.
Yeah, it's a great team. Coffee people are, you know, they really love something a lot. And coffee is a geeky thing, not just because, oh, we all want to be awake, but there's something about, if you really, it's almost like a wine connoisseur. You can get really into different regions that coffee is grown, coffee beans are grown, and the different kinds of beans and different roasting methods, and it can be a lot of fun. So I'm going to stop talking about coffee now, or I'll never stop. Move on to our social tip. This is something called QuickCast. I have not heard of this.
Yeah, this is kind of a neat little tool I've had before. I've had to do screen casts on my computer. So this is a Mac tool. If you need to record your screen for any reason, and I know there are reasons where people may have to do this, whether you're trying to show someone how to do something, or maybe you do your own video podcast and you want a way to be able to record your screen, this free tool lets you do it in a really simple way, which is why I love it. You can record up to 3 minutes, which is great. Really simple. You can also create animated GIFs. So these GIFs will be just 10 seconds long. So that's another option as far as the final format of the video that you're recording. So just a fun tool for screencast that's simple and free. So you really can't go wrong with this one.
I love this. I'm constantly trying to record little things here and there for video podcasts. i5 for the iPhone is a great example, Amber. Sometimes I'm like, I really just, I don't want to actually take a screenshot of my screen. I want to just record a small little snippet of something.
Little video.
Yeah, you could launch QuickTime and that sort of works. But I like the idea of this tool, the free tool, which is great, at least for Mac users, saying, you know, I want something sort of, you know, quick and dirty, 3 minutes, that's perfect.
Yep, really, really simple. So definitely try it out if you're a Mac user. I don't know if there's a Windows equivalent, but I'm sure there is out there. But this is a fun one and found it on Lifehacker. So they usually have great reviews of all their different services. And I'm definitely going to use this one. I can think of a lot of ways that I could use it.
Yeah, me too. And especially because there's sort of the social element built into it. So, you know, you record your video, then you publish it, and then you can share it easily rather than having some sort of a file locally on your computer, and then there's a matter of like, okay, well, who needs to get this? And I guess I could email it to them, but, you know, whereas there's that you kind of have like a central, like, would you use FTP? Ugh, who wants to do that anymore? This is just supposed to be simple. So sounds like quitcast.io would be the place for you to go if this sounds like a tool that you would like to use.
Yeah, it's a good one. We'll put that in our show notes as well.
Yes, we certainly will. Our next social tip is very eye-opening, Amber. This is called Statagram. I don't think we've ever talked about it on the Social Hour before. This is going to give you a very nice little snapshot of who all of your people are on Instagram. So it's statistics for Instagram, aka Statagram. I've just loaded up my own. And it's interesting because I realize that I gain followers, but I'm also losing them. And that's, you know, just it's good if you especially if you really take a lot of pride in your Instagram and you want to kind of think about it almost in the way of, you know, how people think about their Twitter followers. You want to get your counts up. So I've taken, you know, a little over 1,300 photos. I've gotten, you know, over 130,000 likes. Gee, that seems great. 8,400 comments. But then I see here I've got, I've been at 13,000 something followers for a long time. And I can see with this little arrow that's pointing to the left, it means that it's not an upward trend. It's actually a downward trend. I've started following more folks. But if you see in the last 7 days, I got 650 new followers. Yay, cool. All right. Thanks. Those people are awesome. But I lost some too. And that's, you know, it's not something I'm going to take too personally, but it can be somewhat helpful. You know, maybe I did something a little crazy over the last 7 days. I don't remember doing anything too crazy, but, you know, maybe you tried something new and this is kind of good feedback for you to have. So, you know, I gained some followers, but I didn't really gain that many when you think of sort of the net number. What these are sort of my scores down here at the bottom, you know, how many likes you get sort of as it relates to the ratio of photos that you're posting, how many people are responding to your posts, and engagement beyond your followers, which means how much of the likes you receive come from people who don't follow you. That's really interesting.
Not
very many. Yeah, it's 0.01% for me, so a very small number. But, you know, every once in a while, Amber, I'll follow, you know, kind of go down some sort of a rabbit hole of friends that are following people I don't know, and I'll like a photo here and there. So I know it happens. I guess that's probably also a great way to get on, you know, popular pages and this and that. But I love this sort of stuff because it just gives you much more of a sense of what's happening behind the scenes rather than just sort of your profile. You're throwing pictures out into the world. It's like, how do people perceive what you're sharing? And, you know, and how do you either pat yourself on the back for a job well done or figure, maybe I should post more cat photos. Those seem to be getting more likes than what I've been getting recently.
Yeah, I know. It's fun. I actually found it a little bit depressing because, you know, you figure out where there's kind of drop off in places. And if you don't have as many followers as you may have thought, or they tend to leave or whatnot. But I think it's useful for anyone who wants to use Instagram and wants to be able to figure out where they've had the most success with their photos.
Yeah, it's cool, too. It's if you really want to get into optimization, you've got like your overview. That's what we were looking at before. Monthly analysis, content engagement optimization. My current posting habits appear to be really skewed towards the evening because, I don't know, I guess my mornings all look the same to me. But that's sort of interesting information I have about myself now. My photo average lifespan, this is sort of like how many comments happen, you know, within the first hour or so, you know, versus within, you know, a day. And then filter impact, which is hysterical because it looks like my most popular filter is Nashville. And I happen to know that I rarely use Nashville. It's like one of those filters that I just feel like it almost never works except every so often. So it's kind of funny that I guess maybe it's good that I'm showing restraint for my Nashville photos. That's, of course, the name of a filter. And then, various tags and as opposed to top tags on Instagram. This is also kind of interesting, Amber, because you know how some people just go absolutely crazy with the Instagram hashtags?
Oh, yes.
And it's like, what are all these hashtags supposed to mean? But there is a huge community of people who, you know, will hashtag family or boyfriend or Throwback Thursday. That's one that I participated in before. So these are actually kind of sometimes hashtags it's good to know about because there'll be people who might be able to find your content via a hashtag, not because of mutual friends that you have.
Yeah, I think it's fun. I mean, anything I think that breaks down your stats in social like this and gives you a sense on what's working and what's not working, what people like and what maybe you should post more of, I think it's helpful. If you're trying to figure out a way where you have more reach across social media sites, this is great. I mean, I'm kind of an analytics nerd, Sarah. I would say the same thing about you, or geek, or whatever you want to say.
Yep.
So I love being able to look at all of the charts and figure out some of my habits on Instagram. I know I haven't been posting much lately, so it's a reminder to me that I should probably post a little more on Instagram. And in fact, I did a couple of Instagram videos and those definitely got a decent amount of traffic. So I should probably do a few more of those as well. So this is a fun tool for anyone for personal use as well if you're into the social media marketing space too.
Absolutely. Statigram. Statigr.am. And that's hard to remember, so we'll put that in our show notes as well. We've got a little spotlight this week. Tell us about this spotlight chosen by you, Amber.
Okay, so this is also kind of geeky, Sarah. If you want to watch what's happening on the internet, on social media sites, this is one way to do it. And you can watch based on interactions per second. This is a cool site that I found on Waxy Links. There's lots of neat stuff over there. It's called onesecond.designly.com. And it allows you to view what's happening on social media sites every single second. So I'm a big geek and love to watch things like this, Sarah. I know you do too. So you can go down the list, see how many Reddit votes were cast every second since you've been on this little page here, how many more Instagram photos were uploaded every single second, Tumblr posts, Skype calls made, and you can see for in many instances it's going up by hundreds every single second you watch. And there's something fun about watching these tallies. I don't know if this is a weird thing to do, but I seem to enjoy it. I don't know, Sarah, what do you think?
Well, I think it gives you just more perspective, right? It's like, oh, yeah, tweets, whatever, Dropbox files. Yeah, we're using these services. But when you see it in this massive volume that kind of makes it like a tangible thing, look at all of these files that Dropbox it really helps to scale the whole thing. I mean, Google search is made. I mean, will Jason ever stop scrolling? We'll never get to the end of that. That's happening per second.
It's a lot. Yeah.
It just gives you a sense of like, holy crap. What was that? Mm-hmm. What was the next one? YouTube videos view. Oh, that's going to be a lot, another one too. Yeah.
It's a lot.
Yeah. It kind of shows you a visual representation of why we need so many servers.
Yeah, no, it's amazing just to see the number of people interacting on a regular basis and just to be able to see all of these stats in a different format like this and see it in real time. It's kind of neat. At the bottom, it says 10 years ago, Skype, Facebook, YouTube, Reddit, Twitter, Tumblr, Dropbox, and Instagram didn't even exist. 20 years ago, there were only 150 websites. Google wasn't even around and you had to pay for an email account through an ISP. And 30 years ago, there was no internet. So it puts it all into perspective for people and really how many cool social media tools we have today.
Yeah, this is a great thing. We were talking in the last episode about, you know, seniors getting on the internet. They'd probably get a kick out of this. Like, I remember 30 years ago when there wasn't any internet, and then maybe some of the younger people to say, "Gosh, really? There was so much less of this data just, you know, 10 short years ago. Some of these companies weren't even around." It's true. Yeah. And they probably won't be around another 10 years. Nah, I'm just kidding. They'll just be different, full of ads. But I'm not bitter.
Not at all. You're not going to be bitter because after we mention our next sponsor, Sarah, I have something very happy for you.
Do you?
And I'll just leave it at that. Yes.
Oh, I'm so happy about that. Well,
you should be.
Speaking of happy, something that actually does make me happy is getting good media. Amber and I, of course, have been in the world of media for some time, and many of you are listening to the show, but as you know, we also have a video version of the show, and it's really important, the visual parts of projects. If you want people to watch and be engaged and think, oh, wow, that looks really awesome, your content has to be visually interesting, and that's why we're always so happy to be sponsored by Shutterstock.com, because that's where you find the perfect image or video for any creative project that your little heart desires. Maybe it's for your website. Maybe you need some images to put together some sort of a, you know, I'm thinking of putting together a new website. I don't even want to talk about it because I don't think it's a very good idea. But Shutterstock would be a great place for me to get some great images that I wouldn't have to go out and shoot myself. Or maybe some sort of an advertisement that you're putting together. Maybe you're putting together some sort of an awesome creative video and you want to share on all over the world, and you need some media, any other type of project. The cool thing about Shutterstock is that you can choose from so many different video clips. You can choose from over 1 million of them. This is high quality HD animation, motion graphics. This is good stuff. Contributors to Shutterstock are pros. This is not just like crappy video that anybody can upload. This is high quality, absolutely creative, engaging content. And Shutterstock isn't just going to let stupid stuff fall through the cracks either. The team is reviewing each video individually for content and for quality before adding it to its library. And Shutterstock is also adding 10,000 video clips each week. So every time you visit, you're going to find something new. Search tools too. In fact, sometimes it's fun just to kind of give yourself a challenge and search for something on Shutterstock and just see what comes back. It can be inspiring. You could be like, I don't know, I've hit a creative wall, I just don't know. And then all of a sudden you see this kind of, you got this neat video, you search for bright idea, and all of a sudden it's like, oh, that's awesome. Yeah, okay. I'm feeling a little bit inspired. I'm ready to keep going with this project. Or maybe you know exactly what you want. And you search for that too, and it's neat. If you've got a team that you're working with, you can save clips to a Lightbox, give your team access. They can go look at those clips later and say, "Sarah, you're right on the money," or, "You know, I don't like the colors in that video. Let's search for something with a little bit more blue rather than green." So this is the place to look. If you are looking for videos for your next project, you've got to go to Shutterstock. And the best part is that you can sign up today for a free account. You don't have to use your credit card. You don't have to feel locked into anything. Just start an account. Start using Shutterstock. Help imagine what your next project will look like. Save those video selections to share with your team members to that clip box or to come back to you later. And when you decide to purchase, use the offer code SocialHour8. So that's SocialHour and then the number 8 at the end. And new accounts will receive 30% off any package. And there are a few packages to choose from. Again, Shutterstock.com. And if you want 30% off your new account, which is a great deal, 30%, use that offer code SocialHour8. And thanks to Shutterstock for sponsoring the Social Hour. So, Amber, how much do you think that word of mouth on variety of social networks, maybe I talk about how much I love that new Netflix series, Orange is the New Black, on Twitter. How much do you think that that contributes to people then watching these shows? Do you think that the social stream is really a great place to drive people to new content?
I would think so. And by the way, I like Orange is the New Black. I watched the entire season, but I'm not really sure. I'm hoping it is meaningful because I know a lot of people producing content depend on that social conversation. So I'm very curious, Sarah, about anything that you've discovered.
Yeah, well, it's interesting because that's the whole debate. Twitter says, hey, when people talk about television shows and movies on Twitter, because of course they want the advertisers to believe this as well, Nielsen ratings go up, people go, you know, see more movies, but it's kind of hard to put an actual number on how it's hard to quantify exactly how much the movie studios and advertisers are benefiting. Well, Time Warner CEO, Time Warner just had its earnings report, so talked about a lot of stuff. Actually, had a pretty good quarter. CEO says Game of Thrones, which of course is an HBO show and sort of widely known to be the show that is most pirated on the internet. Of course, HBO is not only a cable network but a top tier cable network. So even people who have basic cable won't get HBO unless they pay for a more expensive version of their monthly service. And many people say, we don't want anything else in that more expensive cable package. We just want HBO. And since we can't get it, Game of Thrones, very popular show. In fact, the most popular show on HBO right now, gets pirated. Time Warner, which of course is a cable network that works with HBO, says having Game of Thrones as the most pirated show is actually very important. In fact, he says it's better than an Emmy. Emmys, of course, being awards that television shows get for excellence, that are, you know, awards provided by people who are in the industry. But his point is, this is a word of mouth type of viral success that you can't get any other way. And we believe that in the end, it just leads to more overall HBO subscriptions, which puts more money overall into a company like Time Warner's hands.
It's very interesting. I mean, I think it's a very open-minded way of thinking, right? Mm-hmm. And I don't think it comes to a surprise to people who are familiar with how often these shows are pirated or potentially know people who do pirate these shows that it just leads to more and more people wanting to watch them. So it's good to kind of, in some ways, it's good to hear this. I'm not necessarily saying that I'm condoning people pirate shows, but at the end of the day, the reality is that's what a lot of people end up doing. And it is that word of mouth through Facebook or Twitter or wherever it might be, as far as getting the word out about a program like this and then getting the subscriptions to go up. So not a huge surprise. And it's really a great article. Lots of other stats in there in the article on Adweek. If you have any interest in television and the online experience, it's definitely worth a read.
Yeah, I agree. And it's hard to compare something like a television series to music. But in this case, there are some similarities. This is something that the recording industry has always argued against. It's like, well, if people are illegally downloading music, then we all suffer. But if you look at music sales, that's not really the case. There are types of music, CDs, for example, where it's like, well, you just don't sell as many of those because people have other options. And there are issues to work out to make sure that artists get fairly compensated when someone is subscribing to a streaming music model versus a album download model, for example. But it's not as if it turns people off of the content in general. For the most part, you can't really say, well, if you're downloading music, then, you know, everyone just becomes a pirate. And I think this is what the Time Warner folks are saying as well. It's like, yes, Game of Thrones is getting pirated heavily, and yes, we have a lot to work out as far as keeping people happy. Right now, we're not offering the tools that they want to be able to just get this one show. But in general, it's just still, it's spreading the word that the show is so great that there's certainly going to be at least a small segment of the people who will sign up for these HBO accounts that, that didn't yet because they didn't even know the show existed.
Yeah, and I think it just it goes to show you that the way that people want to watch these programs just isn't the same anymore, right? We saw that with House of Cards on Netflix and Orange is the New Black, the idea that they released the entire season at once. So I would never even think of pirating one of these shows because I know I have access to watch all of them at once, which is kind of how we end up consuming content these days. So it's just a change in the way people are consuming that content. And I think it's just about the content creators being able to keep up with that demand. And a lot of them don't want to. They want to stick with their old ways of doing things, but it's just not acceptable, I think, in the times that we live in today. And very, very interesting article for sure.
Yeah, it does seem forward thinking. Probably gets people in trouble with the MPAA and such. But yes, it's a good debate. It's a good debate to have, and I'm glad we're talking about it because I think in the end we all get more options, hopefully.
Yes.
If the universe works correctly, we all get more options. Choice is good.
Choice is good. Yep.
Got a little email from Simon on Twitter. Actually, an email, a tweet. You don't email me via Twitter,
thing.
Simon. I realize that. It's been a long week. Simon on Twitter sent us a helpful chart to show how things go viral online, which I kind of loved because, let me pull this up here, because it's how viral content spreads. Now, Simon's in the UK. It's funny because it started with, okay, well, let's say there's a cat wearing a shark costume that's on a Roomba. Many of us have seen this. Well, in general, how does something like this spread across the internet to the point where your grandma is trying to share it with you on Facebook? Well, starts with Redditors, 20 minutes in, right? And then this is something that I've never heard of before. Geeks skiving or skiving. I'm not even sure how you pronounce it. And he had tweeted both of us, Amber, and I said, I don't know what that means. And he said, oh, maybe it's some sort of a British thing. It means wasting time at work. And I said, oh, yeah, yeah.
I get that.
That's what we call it, wasting time at work. But I guess there's another term. You know, so that's like, that's within the hour. Then you've got, particular usernames sharing it. Then you get into people who have more than 5,000 followers on Twitter, really start spreading the word. 2 hours and 30 minutes later, the mainstream picks up on it. 5 hours later, Facebook gets it. 10 hours later, you maybe get it right up in a Metro article. Within 12 hours, then you get your work colleagues and people start to talk about it around the water cooler and share it. Daily Mail article as well. Again, this is somewhat UK focused, but you guys get the idea. 2 days later, non-nerdy acquaintances on Facebook and Twitter. We all know those people who will say, oh my gosh, lol, so funny. And you're like, oh, this is so old. I'm not even going to say so. And then you get to the point that it gets referenced on a TV talk show as if it's new. That's a week old. 2 weeks That's later, awesome. Your mom wants to talk about it. And then eventually in 3 months, it gets picked up by an ad agency and turned into a commercial.
I love it.
I think it's pretty accurate, isn't it?
It is pretty accurate. I think my favorite parts are when they mention that it's picked up by a TV talk show as if it's new and your mom talking about it, because I think that definitely shows if it's kind of hit the mainstream. So that's fun. What a great little chart. Do you know who that's by, Sarah? I'm having a hard time reading the source at the bottom.
Oh, good question. Let's see if I can read this.
It's very tiny.
It looks like Meg Pickard.
Okay.
So MEGPICKARD created this. And we should all thank her on Twitter and tell her that you saw it on the Sunflower. And then she'll know more
That's
about
really
how
fun.
Viral content spreads, huh?
Exactly. There it go. Oh, wait. We're not that talk show, I hope.
I certainly hope not. It's hard to know.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, gosh. It would just prove her point, wouldn't it? Where she's like, I tweeted that 3 months ago. So good for you guys.
Or in this case, 2 weeks ago would be even more accurate.
Yeah.
Nonetheless. Okay, Sarah, I mentioned I had something kind of happy for you. And you may think this is kind of an interesting social network. It's in app format right now. It's an iPhone app. And it is, in fact, called Happier. And the idea behind Happier is that it is a place where you can go and you can share happy moments. Now, it sounds corny, right? Okay, who's going to do that? Now, I signed up because I had written an article about this for Fast Company. And I have to tell you that I signed up for the app. I started using it and I was reading through what people are posting. And I felt as though it was so refreshing compared to perhaps my Facebook experience, where a lot of people maybe complain about their jobs or their lives at home or whatever it might be, to go into a social network where there were a lot of positive things happening and a lot of people really kind of just enjoying life. So if you get sick of the darkness of Facebook at times, you can pull yourself out and head into the Happier app, because it's definitely a shiny and cheerful place.
I love this. Is it? I mean, it's sort of like the equivalent of, you know, going and buying yourself a dozen flowers and making a little arrangement and just being like, you know, it's a little thing, but it's a nice way to spend some amount of time. I love any iOS app that I hadn't heard of, Amber, because of course you and I both pay a lot of attention to apps, and I haven't heard of Happier, which surprises me. But there is so much. I don't know. There's also you mentioned like people complaining about their jobs on Facebook, but there's also a lot of I feel like people being happy on social networks where it comes across as bragging. Yeah. Like, my life is so perfect. And that's, I know that that's often not the intention at all. There's just so much noise. I find that apps like this, you know, maybe a place to just talk about great stuff or spread a little joy into the world can be great, because it's that's what it's all about. So you don't kind of get these these little sort of happy things peppered into the overall experience that can seem out of place or just, I don't know, lost in the fray. Happier.
Yeah, and I think there is also that fear somewhat that people have, where they're afraid to post that they're having happy times, that they're just enjoying the sunset, because people will be like, I hate people who enjoy the sunset, or whatever it might be, right? But you're exactly right. I mean, Happier says exactly what that community is about, and it's not a place for people to be sharing really sad and miserable things. So it's fun, and it's worth just a dive into. And also, it's a beautiful app. I mean, it's very path-like, so the experience is really nice that they've built it. It's a really nicely designed download. So just a fun one, a happy one for the weekend.
And you know, more. I could use a path replacement, Amber. I have to say, there's something about path that's, you know, I like it. I do. This is a little off topic, but I've kind of got this social media dread that happens only on certain networks, and Path is one of them. And I think part of it is when I haven't been on Path for a good 12 hours or more, then I'm going to see all the stuff that, you know, my friends have done in that time that does not include me, because if I was with them, then it wouldn't matter so much. So I'm getting all this information about, you know, last night, a bunch of people, friends of mine were at dinner and it was fine. I didn't particularly want to be there, but it was like, oh, okay, they've all checked in. Oh, there's a picture. Oh, there's another picture. Oh, there's a different view. Oh, now they're at the bar. And there's something about catching up on it that feels very, feels like a chore. Twitter is less about that, because it's just like half the time people are just, I don't know, they're just sort of talking.
You don't even see it.
Yeah, you're just kind of talking to the world.
Do you feel a little bit, I'm curious about this, because I think in San Francisco, it's just, that's just the norm, right?
Yes.
Because I will say that I'll go out with girlfriends of mine who I've known for, you know, 15, 20 years, and maybe one of them's on Facebook posting a picture, but it's just, it's not, we're not that saturated with that experience. Don't get me wrong. I mean, they still use Twitter here and there, but I feel like San Francisco, you get there and then it's just, that's what it's all about. So maybe, you know, removing yourself from that a little bit, you realize that, oh, you can just, there isn't that added pressure, perhaps.
Absolutely. I gave somebody a hard time the other day. It's a friend I have on Path, and I'm not going to, like, unfriend him, but I was like, you're never on Path. And he is like, so? I mean, does it really bother you? And I was like, no, I just noticed that you weren't but I don't really have a good reason why you should be. And I think you should just live your life the way that you want. And he was like, yeah, thanks. And we kind of laughed about it. And I was like, I sounded so weird just then, you know, like, I don't want to be a social network pressurer. And there are plenty of people who are like, give me one good reason why I need to spend more time on path. You don't have one? Okay.
I know.
All right. And I say, yeah, you're right. Sorry. Anyway, there's no right way to do this whole thing. I just, you know, it's interesting. And I hope, hopefully an app like Happier will help us be just that.
We're all learning together.
Yeah. Reminder that we love hearing from you. Your feedback is super important to us. And by the way, it was Simon who shared Meg's how viral videos are shared, that was shared on Twitter, and we were worried that we were way behind, and it turns out that she only posted that about 2 days ago, Amber. So we're right still, we're still in like geek cred territory.
Anybody
who's watching or listening to the show not live, we recorded it about a week in advance. So you might say, no, you guys are way behind. But at the time of this taping, we were only a couple days back. So I think we're in pretty good shape. But you can tweet at us, Sarah Lane or Amber Mack on Twitter. If you ever have ideas, maybe services you'd like us to look at, or interesting anecdotes about your social life, or I don't know, you don't have to get too personal, but, you know, social networking life anyway. You can write us at thesocialhour@twit.tv. You can leave us a voicemail at 2626-SOCIAL. That's our Google voicemail box, 2626-SOCIAL. Just type it in and leave us a voicemail. Or you can leave us a video as well. You know, I don't know, do a little dance. Show us how you interact with Facebook using interpretive dance. Nobody's ever done that before. I'd like to see it.
I'm game for that.
Get right on that. Yeah,
go,
you know, Amber
it.
And I could use a laugh. This is a somber show, obviously. But before we get to actually the part of the show I always look forward to the most is Amber's Rad or Fad. Before we get to that, let's take a moment to thank our third and final sponsor, SAP, for helping us get through the social hour, because they love us and they're always supporting us. We love SAP. They make social media solutions, which helps companies, large enterprises of varying sizes, use social media to improve the customer experience. Hey, I bet if I said, name the company you think sucks the most on social media, you would have a company. I certainly do. It's on the tip of my tongue. I'm not going to out anybody right now. But they could use social media solutions. You know what companies get wrong all the time is that they don't seem to be able to listen to all of the things that are being said about their company on blogs, on Facebook, you know, in a review, you know, maybe 30 reviews down, somebody is, you know, mad as heck. Or they love your product and you think, gosh, this is like a future evangelist. These are people you want to be able to hear and then reach out to. Social Media Solutions listens, captures reports on conversations happening all over the web. It can search for relevant terms. It can kind of put people in a category who seem very passionate about your product. Those are people you definitely want to be keeping tabs on. You know, are they upset? Do they like your product? Do they love the next iteration of you know, the bicycle that you're manufacturing or the service that you're selling? Are they possibly ready to buy but seem like they're waffling a little bit? Is this a perfect time for you to reach out and make sure that you answer that question that turns this into a sale? You know how that goes. This is all, they can all be, you know, a real balancing act. And it's the difference between an okay company and a great company that can leverage these tools. And SAP is basically going to help you do it with minimal effort on the part of your company. The engaging component, of course, is you've done all this listening, you've got all this data. Wow, you know, we've really struck a nerve here on the internet. Look at all the things that the people have said about our products. Now we need to engage. We need to let them know that we're listening. We're not just some company who has some Twitter account that we never log into. This is a living, breathing communication tool. You can drive sales that way because people know that you're listening and you're ready to help solve problems. You can respond to customer feedback, whether they're happy, sad, anything in between. If somebody has a tech support problem, you can route that problem to your team member who is the best equipped to handle the problem and not waste any time. This is all real-time stuff. the social stream, and you want to feel like you're on top of that. SAP Social Media Solutions is the answer for your team. It gives you more than marketing, because not only it's the marketing component, but it's also better customer service and a better support experience for your customers. They will then spread the word that you know what you're doing. Go to sap.com/twit. Take a guided tour today to see for yourself how social media solutions from SAP works. Again, sap.com/twit. So they're waiting for you. You can see Amber and I, you know, got our little mugs over there on the special SAP page. They're welcoming the Twit Army. So go over there now and take that guided tour and find out more about how SAP can work for you. All right, Amber, it's time for our rad or fad. And this has to do with food. So I love it already.
I know. You know, I was thinking of you when I found this site. I had not heard of it before. It's called Food 52. And I wouldn't call myself a foodie, but I have been looking at some of these recipes. And these are all crowdsourced recipes. And there's some fantastic looking stuff here. And very social, obviously, because it is all crowdsourced. But some good stuff here. But what's interesting is they've just launched this part of their site called Provisions, which is an e-commerce site where they'll be selling things that are basically cooking utensils and other things that you may use in the kitchen. They have things for, you know, picnics, picnic baskets you can buy. And so they've really combined the content experience with the e-commerce experience all in one place. And based on this TechCrunch article, they're talking about this idea of content meeting commerce and how this could be the trend of the future, where content sites also are selling things that are relevant to their audiences. And overall, I think they've just done a beautiful job of this. So I think it is kind of rad, and I think it's a perfect marriage for these two sections almost to live under one umbrella of one brand. And I'm a big fan. I think I'm going to come back here and make some stuff. Yeah. Maybe buy some stuff.
I love this idea. I spend so much time reading recipes. I've got 10 different cooking apps on my iPad, and none of them really offer anything like this. And it's kind of hard to believe when you think about it, because it's like, well, food, you can't put that in the cloud. I mean, it's food, right? And if you're making food, you have to have actual food and actual tools to make the food. And that really hasn't changed much, besides the fact that, you know, some of the technology gets better. But this is stuff that you can sell. Why don't more of these great cooking services, recipes, stuff that talks about food, not sell more of it to make it sort of a one-stop experience? I love that idea. It makes perfect sense.
It makes perfect sense. And I think they've done a really nice job of it. Even though the e-commerce section kind of sits within the same site, it sort of has different branding on it. So you can tell that you're going to almost a different place. The Provisions logo is in a font that's not the same as the main site. And I think it's just really slick. We'll see more of this. They mentioned in the TechCrunch article that this happens in the fashion industry all the time, where more and more fashion companies talking about maybe just, you know, fashion content and lifestyle. They're also selling some of those clothes through an e-commerce site. So we're seeing the same thing with food. And again, I think we have another rad this week. We haven't had too many fads lately, Sarah. So too many good things coming out of the internet lately.
Absolutely. Food is sort of the next frontier. It's like I've got a great service that I have been using lately along with Pinterest called Houzz.com, because I'm sort of trying to redecorate my apartment a little bit. And many of the photos that I go, oh gosh, I love that dining room table, it'll have like a little receipt, and you click on it, and then you find out who made the product, and you click through to buy the product. And you know, some of the ways that you're either rerouted to the original manufacturer, you know, an Amazon or whatever. But in general, I think the whole trend of, hey, you like what you see here? Does this recipe look good? We're just going to give you all the tools that you need to make it. We're not going to say, here are the tools that you need. Go forth into the world and maybe you won't get distracted on the way, because it's easy to do that. I like the one stop. Everything is here. The links are all here for you. And Food 52, I'm not as familiar with as other food-based destinations, but it has a really nice look. So so it's got that going for it as well.
Yeah, and I think it works for food. It works for fashion. I mean, it's difficult in tech. All of a sudden, I don't want to necessarily see, you know, tech crunch selling gadgets, because obviously their reviews are going to be influenced by those gadgets that they sell. But I think there are certain silos that this works really well for, and I think food is definitely one of them. So good job to them. And if you have a rad or fad, please let us know, because I find lots of good stuff, but we are definitely open to any rad or fads from our listeners and viewers, because we can't cover everything, Sarah. We just don't have time.
No, we can't. We can't possibly read the whole internet. We've tried.
Not yet.
It can't be done. And anyone who tells you different is lying to you and themselves.
They're lying.
All right. On 100%. That note, we've gotten a little over the hour, but we like to keep the show to about an hour. So we're going to have to end it on a great, great rad note. That is it for this episode of The Social Hour. Remember, we are live Fridays at 4 p.m. Eastern, 1 p.m. Pacific. We recorded this particular show, episode 124, a few days ahead of time, because I will actually be on vacation the day that it airs for anybody who wasn't watching live. But hopefully that doesn't disrupt you too much. We wanted to make sure that you had a fresh show either way, and hopefully the show will hold up a little bit, even though we are a few days early. And Amber, thanks for accommodating me, because I know that you're still on vacation as well.
Yeah, it's all good though, Sarah. It's good to, you know, it was like a marathon today. So still lots of good stuff. And I think all the stuff we picked today is definitely will last for many, many, many days in the social world. So it's all good.
Agreed. Reminder, our website is twit.tv/TSH. That's where you can watch our episodes, subscribe to episodes, tell a friend. You know, if you like the Social Hour and you think, you know, Marcy would really like that, Sarah and Amber, I think that they kind of know what they're talking about. You could just, you know, I don't know, tell a friend. Everybody can have fun. It's a social show.
I like how you sound like you're like 80 years old. Oh, Marcy, you'll love the Social Hour.
I really don't think that you all sound that way. It's just what I do when I'm pretending to be somebody else. It's weird. I skew very elderly. I don't know.
It's interesting.
I could never be a very good actress, Amber. I think that's been established.
It's really, really destroying our chances at the movie.
That's right.
Nonetheless, I shall move on from that.
I will. It's time to let you get back to the last final days of your vacation, Amber, and everybody else. We'll see you next time on The Social Hour. Until then, have a great week.
All right. See you soon.